You and I must appraise God and see what he's worth.
Dr. Tony Evans says that if God is who he says he is, we should take our reverence for him more seriously.
But after your appraisal, if he's the real deal, you ought to treat him like that.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans says that what we do for the Lord grows out of the time we spend with the Lord. And today he'll talk about why we need to make those moments of devotion and connection a top priority. You want to turn to Malachi chapter 3 as we join him.
We're all familiar with what happened on April 14th, 1912, 11:40 p.m. That was the time when the unsinkable Titanic ran into an iceberg, cutting in a 300-foot hole that in the next 2 hours and 40 minutes would lead to its sinking and the loss of 1,522 lives. We all know what happened, but a lot of people don't know about one small thing that could have changed the events that day. You see, there was a missing key. The second officer's name was David Blair. David Blair had the key to a locker. Inside the locker were binoculars that the gentleman on the crow's nest, way up high, could see much further. But at the last minute, David Blair, who had the key to the locker that had the binoculars that would be used by the person on the crow's nest, was reassigned and not allowed to go on the ship, but he forgot to turn over the key. Because David Blair forgot to turn over the key because he was pulled from the crew, the man on the crow's nest who was looking out as the Titanic was moving forward was limited to his human sight, what he could see with his own two eyes. But it's 11:40 at night. There was only so much you could see and so far you could see. And he did not have the key to the locker that housed the binoculars to help him to see better. You see, the Titanic sank because there was a missing key. Many of us wonder why we're not hearing more from God, seeing more of God, why we're not experiencing the power of God that we sing about, talk about, praise about, pray about. Today I would like to share with you the missing key that saves us from many of the trouble that life brings our way. Isaiah 33 verse 6 says, "The fear of the Lord is the key to his treasure." The book of Malachi is a book about taking God seriously, as opposed to taking God casually. And a phrase used in the book numerous times is the fear of God. In our passage here today, verse 16 of Malachi 3, "But those who feared the Lord spoke to one another." The end of verse 16, "For those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name." If you back up to chapter 1, verse 14, the last part of the verse says, "For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts. My name is feared among the nations." Scripture makes it clear that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God. We've explained it many times before. To fear God is not to walk around trembling, to walk around, you know, terrified in that sense. It simply means to take God seriously. For most people, God is a great spare tire. We want him close in case something goes flat. My life goes flat. My money goes flat. My health goes flat. My mind goes flat. My circumstances goes flat. We want to know there's something in that trunk that we can pull out to bail us out when things go flat. But once we get our flat tire repaired, the spare can go back in the trunk till we need it again. That's because people do not fear God. They take him casually, not seriously. The people in the book of Malachi were complaining. God says, your words have been arrogant, verse 13, against me, says the Lord. They said, we don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? What have we said? What have we spoken that is making you so ticked off? He says, you have said, in vain we serve God. What profit is there that we have kept his charge and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the arrogant blessed, and not only those doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. He says, we're doing all this stuff for you, and notice the word, and get no profit in return. The word profit in the Old Testament was used of cutting a piece of cloth. It meant to get a cut of something, to get your cut, like a business deal. These people, because they're in church, remember the book of Malachi is taking place in the temple. It's in church. They're saying we're doing this, we're doing that, and we're doing the other, but we don't see where we're getting our cut. We don't see our part of the deal working out. We're doing all this stuff, and I don't see where there's any reciprocity taking place. I don't see my cut in this deal. What's the problem? What's the dilemma here? That after all, they're in church. They say we're serving you. We're doing this stuff. I don't see my cut. The problem in this book is that we've got people fulfilling a duty without a relationship. They come to church to get their cut. They may put some money in the plate to get their cut. They may serve to get their cut. In other words, they want a business relationship with God. They say, I don't see the profit. I don't see my cut. They didn't want a relationship. They wanted a deal. And so what they did was camouflage relationship with religion. God says you're coming to church and it looks like you're for real. It looks like you're authentic. It looks like you really mean it. But when I go deeper, nothing inside made you do it. Certain things you do because you're supposed to, or you're afraid if you don't. Without children, you better do what I said, and they will do it because they don't want to be spanked or fussed at. It's a negative reaction, not a love response. Marriages become business deals. You start off poor, one car, if that, apartment, but each other. Now a house, two or three cars, money in the bank. And you do what you used to do, but now because you're supposed to. Not because the relationship spawns it. Oh, they were offering, they were going through the motions, but they were doing it without the fear of God. I was on my way on I-20, I was listening to the radio, and as I kept going on I-20, there were interruptions into the signal. As the signal was interrupted, I kind of tweaked the dial so I could continue hearing what was being broadcast. Now, I was tweaking the dial. I was working with the dial, but things still were hard to follow. And that is because I was headed away from the signal. It wasn't that I didn't have a radio, and it wasn't that I wasn't tweaking the dial. It was just that my distance was causing the problem. See, you can tweak things with religion, but if you're headed the wrong way, if there's too much distance, you still don't get a good signal from heaven. In Matthew 23, he says these words, "But woe," verse 13, "but woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people." Verse 14, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses and make pretense with your long prayers." Verse 15, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on the sea and the land and make one proselyte, and when you get one, you make him twice as much the son of hell." Verse 16, "Woe to you blind guides who say whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated." Verse 23, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law." Verse 25, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup of the dish, but inside they're full of robbery and self-indulgence." Verse 27, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. So you too, outward appearance of righteousness toward men, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." If God can have your outside without your inside, you don't fear him. It's a sneeze without a cold. And that only happens when the principle of the covenant is the driving force, and the principle of the covenant is relationship.
That difference between religion and relationship is an important one, and Dr. Evans will be back with an example of that distinction in a moment. First, check into getting a copy of his current teaching series called Taking God Seriously. This brand new 10-message collection will teach you to make God's priorities your own by investing more energy and attention on your connection with the Lord, as well as your bonds with your spouse and kids. When that happens, your faith will be refreshed and your connection with Christ restored. Until Monday, we're making this brand new collection available on CD as our gift when you make any contribution, no matter the size, to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Just visit us today at tonyevans.org or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson. Let's join him.
Martha was serving God in the kitchen. Mary was sitting at his feet in Luke 10. Martha was frustrated because Mary wasn't helping. Martha came out, fussed at Jesus, that Jesus was keeping Mary from helping her cook a meal for Jesus. She said, "Jesus, send my sister into the kitchen to help me. And I need you to send her because I'm not talking to her right now. She's left me to do all the serving alone." Jesus says, "I will not do that. I will not send her in to help you so that I've got two frustrated women serving the Lord." He said to her, "One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part." In other words, I'll settle for a casserole if I can have you too. The way to unlock the door to a whole new level of experience with God is to pursue the relationship, not merely enhance the performance. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, he expects you to serve. Yes, he expects you to worship. Yes, he expects you to give. but he wants it to flow out of relationship and not out of regulation. Not merely because you're supposed to. How would you feel, mother, if your daughter came to you and said, Mother, for the next month, don't you wash the dishes? I got them every day. After you picked yourself up off the floor. Now, you could tell her to do it and make it a regulation, and she'd have to do it. But it would make a big difference if she did it just because I want to serve my mother. Either way, she's washing the dishes, but it's not the same. These religious people were active, but religion without relationship, here it is, makes Jesus want to vomit. That's what he says to the church of Laodicea. In Revelation 3, he says, be hot or cold, be iced tea or hot coffee, but don't be lukewarm. He says, your church service, your religion makes me want to throw up. There's many a woman who wants to throw up every time her husband comes near her physically. Because she knows he doesn't care about me. He doesn't talk to me. He doesn't compliment me. He doesn't date me. But he wants something from me. That's the feeling of Jesus. Everybody wants to be blessed. Bless me, bless me, bless me. Gonna get my blessing. Coming for my blessing. God is not against blessing you. But he wants to know that he means something to you relationally. Not merely to conduct a performance. Many people will give God a big Sunday. And they'll pick up the conversation again next week. Because we're not interested in a relationship. That was the problem with these folks. They did not want an intimate relationship with God. But they looked like it. They looked like it. He contrasts that group in Malachi 3 with the other group. Verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On the day that I prepare my own possession, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. He says there's this other remnant, there's this other group. And he identifies them as those who fear God. Those who take God seriously, not because they're trembling, but because they are relationally connected to him. And he says, and they are my prized possession. The people who will experience the deliverance and the key are not merely the people in church. It's the people who fear God. Psalm 31, 19 and 20 says that God is with those who fear him and he keeps them in the secret of his presence. A secret place. He says there's a book of remembrance. And your service, your giving, your worship, that is born out of the fear of God, because you take him seriously, he says, he writes it down. He says, they fear my name. God's name is his reputation. God's name is his position. They recognize God as God, not as simply a glorified man. That's why he says in chapter 1, verse 14, I am a great king. And you ought to fear my name. If you will pick up this key of pursuing the relationship, if you'll pick up the key and do what you do for God, juxtaposition the pursuit of a relationship with God, not just out of religious duty, he says, you will enter the secret place. He says, you will have the key, Isaiah 33, to the treasure. He says, you'll be able to distinguish, verse 18, between the righteous and the wicked. He says, because the righteous will get my treasure. They will be mine. And when it comes to the things that matter, I'm going to open my book to their name and I'm going to see what's on their page. That comes out of a relationship, not just out of a performance. You and I must appraise God and see what he's worth. If he's a cheap imitation, like fake jewelry or pleather, not leather, then you ought to treat him like that. But after your appraisal, if he's the real deal, you ought to treat him like that.
Dr. Evans will be back in a moment with a great story about the importance of keeping first things first. In the meantime, if you'd like to get a full-length copy of today's lesson, just search for the title Taking Reverence Seriously when you visit TonyEvans.org. But also don't forget, if you contact us by Monday, we'll send you all 10 messages in Tony's current series, Taking God Seriously, as our thank you gift when you support The Alternative with a contribution of any amount. Get details right away at TonyEvans.org, where you can also find a huge collection of life-changing resources. Sign up for Tony's free weekly email devotional and learn how you can read through the Bible with him on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Again, all of that is waiting for you at TonyEvans.org. You can also call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are standing by day and night to help you. 1-800-800-3222. On Monday, Tony will speak to one of the most important needs of our time as he tackles the subject of taking fatherhood seriously. Right now, he's back with this final story for us.
I was watching a baseball game some years ago, and it was an in-the-park home run. He rounded the bases, stepped on the home plate, and the crowds went crazy. In the midst of all of the madness of the moment, they had thrown the catcher the ball, and the catcher tried to tag him out at home plate, but it was too late. He had already rounded the bases. But the catcher picked up the ball and threw it to first. The first baseman caught the ball and stepped on the bag. The ump says, "You're out." "What? What do you mean I'm out?" He protested loudly. The ump said, "You missed first base. You hit the ball. You touched second. You touched third. You touched the home plate. But in your haste to get where you were trying to go, you skipped first." I'm trying to say something here. If you miss first base, it doesn't matter how many other bases you touch. If you miss first base, then all the other effort you put forth to get where you're trying to go is of no value. You gotta touch first base. Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your might, and soul. This is the first commandment, the scripture says. It says of the saints of Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, before they gave a dime to God, it says they first gave themselves to the Lord. And Jesus says, return to your first love in Revelation chapter 2. Oh, by the way, you always have time for what's first.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.